What's up, guys? Welcome back to Mission Accomplished. My name is Michelle.
I'm Garrett, and today we have a couple different topics that we're going to go over. We're going to be talking about the Twitch streams, the ones that you're probably missing. We're going to be talking about helping Brie Larson with her YouTube channel, question mark. And we're going to be talking about a brand deal that we did recently, working with Marvel and what it is like to work with Marvel.
Yes, I'm super, super excited to chat with you guys about our experience getting to work with Marvel, because I don't know any other creators who have gotten to do this type of work with Marvel before, so we're just going to unpack it all. It's going to be really, really exciting diving into this. And honestly, our dream brand to work with, they have nothing to do with this podcast. Everything we're going to be talking about here is entirely our own thoughts. We were just really, really excited about it and wanting to give you guys a behind-the-scenes look at what it looks like working with one of the biggest brands in the world. All right, so let's dive into it.
So this week, we've been doing a lot of Twitch streaming.
Yes.
And so we just wrapped up your training for your Fortnite training for I Train Like a Professional Video Gamer. Uh-huh. And now you're just doing it because you like it.
Yeah, so to give additional context for anybody who hasn't listened to the podcast before, just finished my video, I Train Like a Professional Gamer, wherein I had a coach, an esports coach, a professional player mentee, and I basically was training multiple hours a day for this tournament. Towards the end, I decided to add in streaming because I thought it was an important part of gaming lifestyle, even though, you know, not all professional esports players do it, but a lot of them do. And let me tell you, streaming has been, quite honestly, some of the most fun I've had in a while.
You're having a blast.
Especially in quarantine. I'm having so much fun. And I feel like a lot of creators, when they start something new, they're like, oh my God, I'm having so much fun on Patreon or whatever. And you're like, are you? Is it like actually fun?
Do people have fun on Patreon?
I don't know. But you know what I mean? They're like, oh my God, I'm having so much fun doing this thing. I am genuinely ecstatic every single day to stream, so much to the point that I have streamed every single day since I started almost 2 weeks ago, except for one day.
Which we still played.
We still played Fortnite because we were like, anyway. I kind of want to do this. And I was only taking a break because I felt like I needed to, mm-hmm. which was, I'm sure, good for me. But I've streamed pretty much every single day for the past 2 weeks with one break. And it has been the most fun. I get it. I finally get why people love streaming. Before I did this gaming video, did not have a very good understanding on the gaming community at all. And we'll talk about that in a later episode when we debrief on the whole experience. But I didn't understand Twitch. I mean, probably because I didn't play any games. I mean, still the only game I own is Fortnite as of now. but I just didn't understand the appeal of, or why would somebody watch a streamer play a game for 4 hours on Twitch? What is the appeal of that? And I finally get it. And what I understand now is there's just this way more intimate level of connection with the audience than I've experienced on any other platform.
I think the thing that you're talking about of what you were missing out on what makes it so appealing is the sense of community. And yeah, that isn't necessarily apparent when you first look at streams on Twitch. When you browse some of these streams on the platform and you open a window and you see this person's live stream, it's the chat section and what these people are saying. And immediately you start to notice, oh, all these inside jokes and all these, this little community is there and formed and is, it's really addicting. There's something really enthralling about it. And so getting to do that with your community, taking them from YouTube or Instagram and bringing them to Twitch, and then, you know, fostering that relationship there on Twitch has been really fun.
And there have been people who have attended every single stream. There are people from all over the world who are in Europe, in Asia, waking up in the middle of the mm-hmm. night or very early in the morning to catch the stream.
Speaking of that.
Oh my God, first of all, major shout out to everyone who is hanging out on Twitch with us, because by golly, it has been a blast, to the point that I just said by golly.
speaking of all that, we have learned that we need moderators for our chat. Now, we shouted them out last time, but we have a really great team of moderators from all over the world. Switzerland, France, Singapore, Ohio, all over the place. And they are helping us run our community, our Twitch community, our Discord community.
Yeah,
by the way, we
Discord
have a
Discord is awesome.
Our one of our moderators, Pierre, set up a Discord server for us, for everybody in the community to hang out and talk in. So you guys should check that out. Also, if you subscribe, like a paid subscribership to Michelle's Twitch, you get like subscriber only chat channels in the Discord server, and there's, you know, less than maybe 100 people in there. So a chat room that Michelle's in that's really intimate. And it's been really cool to talk to the, you know, the you guys, our audience, in that way, in a very informal, casual, intimate setting than what we usually do. There's something, and you were talking about this, is something different than like the just interaction on a YouTube comment. There's something more personal there with the Discord yeah. server that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's because when you comment on a YouTube section, it gets buried pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And on the Discord and on our Twitch, especially at the size we're at right now, which is still pretty small and very intimate. I mean, I pretty much read and see all of the comments on everything and get to live interact with everybody. And that's really, really cool. And I love the inside jokes. I just... I'm experiencing a new level of warmth and love that I wasn't anticipating, especially getting to know our moderators a bit more, connecting with them. We've actually had like phone Discord calls with the moderators to talk about
protocol
and different situations that have come up for us. And as of right now, I'm very grateful because our little community is so wholesome. On our Discord, there is an entire channel for sharing cute animal photos, and I think it's my favorite. I love it.
My favorite would have to be the Corn Club, which I just added last night. I'm even wearing my corn merch that I got right now. This is not real merch. I just made it because I wanted it. It for those of you who don't know, shameless plug, I have the number one corn-themed channel on Twitch.
He does.
Now that is because I am the only corn themed channel on Twitch, but I will wear that badge proudly. Anyway, so yeah, we've been playing a lot of Fortnite. So for the people who have not been watching the streams, I know, sorry, we talk a lot about the streams on the podcast. They're just really fun. For the people who have not been watching the streams, what are they missing out on? What should they expect out of a standard Michelle Carré stream on Twitch?
You can expect mass chaos in the best way possible.
Chaos is, I think, the best term to use.
It is definitely a different side of me.
A lot of panic.
So we have been playing me, Garrett, Christina, and Daniel, self-proclaimed Alpha Team Bravo squads in Fortnite. And we have just been having so much fun. Everyone in the group has a really strong personality. So when we're in a high stress situation, I think it's just really entertaining to be a part of and to watch. Sometimes I even go back and watch portions of the streams because they're just so funny.
I'll cut to a bit that happened in yesterday's stream and Tuesday's stream that was really fun.
Oh my God, the helicopter. Yeah, and I also recognize, like, I feel like I didn't truly start to appreciate other gaming creators and Twitch streamers until I was doing it myself and also playing the games and understanding the games. I didn't understand, as I mentioned before, why people would want to watch someone else play a game instead of just playing the game themselves. And I definitely see the appeal. Like, I can watch Ninja's streams and channel and truly appreciate what he's doing and how he's building and how impressive it is. And before, I didn't play Fortnite, so I couldn't understand that.
So on the last stream, we announced the new stream schedule moving forward. So that will be Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And then we will be playing Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Pacific time.
We wanted to include that Sunday morning stream so that people from all parts of the world could join, whether it's our afternoon or morning streams.
And this then takes us to our plans moving forward with Twitch. We're going to continue streaming on Twitch. But mm-hmm. what we really want to do, well, what you really want to do.
What I really want to do, I think, and we've been talking about this on Twitch, but I also want the podcast audience opinion. I think I want to start a gaming channel. And I feel like every YouTuber goes through that and at one point has a gaming channel.
Well, guess what? We're going through
it. I have so many ideas. I have so many ideas for this channel. I'm really, really excited about it. And of course, playing as many games as possible, far beyond Fortnite. And I'm inspired to do it because, you know, quarantine has been mentally really tough. Gaming and streaming with you guys has been such a saving grace. And I kind of just want to continue the momentum because still a lot of some of the videos that we wanted to do this summer are still kind of postponed because of everything going on in the world. And while we still have, you know, lots of other videos we're working on for the main channel, I would just love to have a source of more experimental and frequent content. For example, on yesterday's stream, this ridiculous moment happened. And if you're not familiar with Fortnite, it might be a little more difficult to explain or appreciate. But there was one point in this game where Garrett single-handedly was winning the last round of Fortnite simply by flying a helicopter above this last team standing of people as the storm circle was closing in. And it was so funny. Garrett is the only one left, and you're in a helicopter.
No. Garrett, stay in the chopper. Do not do anything else.
It's literally you and one other team. They're all just... This is so funny.
I can't believe it.
Don't die, Garrett. You have to stay alive. Come on. Oh, my freaking God. I'm literally freaking out. Oh, my God. You're just dodging all their... Oh, I'm gonna cry.
Stupid.
This is so stupid.
I'm still up, baby.
Hanging on by a thread.
Oh my God, I don't even know what I'm looking at right now. This is...
Oh, Jesus.
I feel like we're about to enter a new...
We got second, you guys. We got second.
It was so, so funny.
And so one thing we want to do is for people who missed the streams, we would like to have that stream like cut down, that like 3-hour stream cut down into like 20, 30 minutes, put that on the channel, on YouTube, so that you guys can still participate.
And also just like gaming challenges. For example, I've never played most games. I've never played
Almost
Zelda.
Almost all games.
I've never played Minecraft. I've never played Overwatch, Valorant. So I really want to just kind of capture my journey as someone who very recently was a complete non-gamer and now only knows one game person, exploring this community and becoming a part of it. So let us know what you think of the idea of a gaming channel, and if you like that idea, what I should call it, because I still...
We don't have any good name options.
MK Gaming.
We're trying to figure it out on the Discord server right now with everybody, trying to pick what name. Also, we do a lot of voting on the Discord server for episodes of Challenge Accepted.
Yeah, there's an entire voting thing.
For upcoming videos. So merch ideas people are throwing around in there. It's actually a lot of fun. So if you haven't, join us on there. Our moderator spent a lot of time building it and perfecting it. Mm-hmm. And it's a good time. So that's Twitch. We are having a great time on that.
Yeah, I want to shout out all of our mods.
Yeah.
Shout out Faleron.
Faleron, of course, our Swiss moderator, who's also a librarian.
Ophaniel
Pierre, who made the Discord server for us.
Yes.
Always on top of
so
his
good.
Stuff for us.
Tessa.
Tessa is a beast. She is always stepping in to fix,
to throw down the moderation hammer.
Throw down the ban hammer when needed. It's great. Very organized, and I love having her on our team.
She made a Google Doc for our moderator protocol. I wasn't expecting any of this. And Boba
Lamp. Boba is our moderator in Singapore. So I really hope she can catch all of our afternoon streams because they're like at 5 or 6 in the morning.
I know, and she's there. She shows up.
She's still there.
That's crazy.
If Boba can be there, you can be there.
Well, yeah. All right. So anyways, the moral of the story is join us on Twitch. Join us on Discord. We're having a blast.
For some reason, if Twitch freaks you out, hopefully we put cutdowns of the content on YouTube in the future. But we'll see how long it takes. Moving on. So why I wanted to have this podcast this week is I wanted to talk about an instance that happened
I'm freaking out. I'm
a couple weeks ago now.
Freaking out.
So you get a random your manager texts you and says, "Hey, you have a Zoom call coming up. Just need you to, you know, be ready to talk on Zoom." You didn't really know what it was about. And so you sit down, you open your computer, and the call comes through. And on the other side of the screen, you see
Brie Larson.
I'll actually just show you the first 5 seconds of that interaction.
Hi.
What the?
So what was going through your head?
Okay, yeah, let's back up
and
a little bit, guys. This I think is, I mean, so many crazy, awesome, insane things have happened during quarantine that I could have never predicted in a million years. Including being surprised with Brie Larson. Imagine
Captain Marvel.
Imagine
herself.
Being me and attending what I thought to be some normal ass Zoom call, and it's mother freaking Brie Larson on the other side. Brie Larson is one of my favorite actresses. I think she is so phenomenal. Obviously, I'm a big fan because of Captain Marvel, but also I've been watching her since Short Term 12, Room, Unicorn Store. I think I have seen everything she's been in, and that is very genuine from before this Zoom call happened. So there was kind of like a moment when I was like, wait, what? Like, is that? Oh my God. And you know what really made it real for me was seeing in the bottom corner of Zoom, Brie as her name. Because I was like, why does this person... this cannot be what's happening right now. And I just freaked out. I mean, I was so embarrassed. I mean, you can ask Garrett. Garrett witnessed this, but I was just so embarrassed with my reaction. And because I want to be one of those people who's like, I'm cool. I'm cool around celebrities. I don't freak out. Like, I'm not going to overfangirl. They're human. I'm human. Okay, well, it's Brie Larson. And I freaked out. I full on freaked out. I almost fell out of my chair. I was so excited. And after I freaked out for a few moments, I was like, wait, why? I literally said to her on the call, I don't think this is in the video, but I'm pretty sure I was like, wait, why are we talking? What am I doing here?
So let's set up, why did Brie Larson call you on Zoom?
Okay, so Brie Larson has started a YouTube channel, guys.
Woo! That was a non-sarcastic woo. I'm adding celebration sounds. I'm sure you guys hear it.
Brie Larson is starting a YouTube channel, which at the time of the recording was very confidential information. Did I sign an NDA before that? I don't even remember. But so she was about to launch her YouTube channel. And she wanted advice from me and lots of other YouTubers, but from me. And I basically just got to chat with Brie Larson for 30 minutes, answering her questions about YouTube, the community. She was asking for advice. And I was just chatting with her about everything. And it was amazing. It really, truly was amazing. Because in the times that I have met people that I really, really admire on YouTube or in normal, like not normal celebrity, but you know what I'm saying, I feel like the interactions with them are so short. It's like a, hey, I'm a big fan and thank you so much for the work that you do. It means a lot to me, whether it's, you know, at an event we're at or otherwise. The interactions are usually very short and like a, oh, that was sort of like a bucket list thing that I got to meet so-and-so. This was so special because it was an entire half hour of us one-on-one talking about everything. And, you know, I'm fully aware she did it for her channel and everything, but she also was just such a genuine person asking questions. And also at one point she said, and this didn't make the video either, so maybe it's in my head, but she said, if I could have any YouTube channel, it would be yours. And so hearing that from one of my idols was, it was amazing. What else did we talk about? We talked about Captain Marvel. I told her that she needs to do a video where she shows her Captain Marvel training routine.
Wow. So let's continue this conversation. I'm going to put a hold on Brie for one moment because this is going to connect to our next topic. Yes. I think we're going to talk about all of this.
Yes.
Tomorrow, if I finish editing this podcast in time, then tomorrow we are releasing a video, surprise video announcement.
Surprise!
You're finding out now. This is a huge video that we're releasing tomorrow that we haven't really talked much about. Tomorrow on the channel, we are bringing back MK Ultra for the first time in like 2 years. And we're opening it with, it's sponsored by Marvel Strike Force. We're doing a Black Widow episode where Michelle trains like Black Widow for a month. It was so much
ending
fun.
Ending in a final fight scene.
It was so much fun to get
classic
to get to do MK this Ultra again. Let's
back that up.
So after saying that, and we will go back into that, but what I wanted to just say is that we got to get Brie in an MK Ultra episode.
How are you calling her by her first name? That's so cool.
We got to get her
Brie Larson
in an MK Ultra episode because we got to do training like Captain Marvel. A lot of people are requesting, Air Force training or train like a pilot. And that's a perfect way to fit, like, rather than challenge accepted, let's do it as an MK Ultra.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wrapping Captain Marvel. You can train at the gym for a session or two with Brie Larson. Sounds pretty cool. We should also, like, you've gotten to talk to the Mother of Dragons and now Captain Marvel. Who's next?
I don't know. I'm pretty fulfilled right now.
Great. That's it. We're done. We did
yeah,
it.
I quit. So that experience was amazing. And also, like, I feel sometimes I go into interviews and, I mean, I'm a, all things considered, a smaller end YouTuber. Sometimes I go into interviews and the interviewer who is interviewing me for a publication hasn't even really seen my channel or anything. And you could tell she had taken the time. She had watched the channel, which is so kind, and she didn't even have to do. And she was asking specific questions about episodes and how we pull them off.
It just felt nice that she cared and took it seriously. And it wasn't just a, let's talk to a bunch of YouTubers so they'll promote it and the channel will do well. It was, she was a fan of the community that she was wanting to be a part of. You could tell that she had watched, you know, videos of yours and of Lily's and of Lauren's and of all these people who were in the video. She was a fan of the content that she wanted to be a part of. And that's what meant the most to me.
That's what meant the most to me too. And that I see a lot of traditional celebrities leaping over into our community during quarantine because it's convenient and they're realizing how powerful the community can be.
And that's fine. We don't want to be those gatekeepers who are like, well, stay in your, like, no, everyone should be able to
absolutely
use YouTube.
But what I also appreciated about Brie was that she had a really strong sense of humility of wanting to understand what she was becoming a part of. And I don't think other celebrities from traditional media have done that. So I really valued that. I mean, other parts of our conversation that didn't make her final video cut included, she said, I right now want to hire all women of color editors for my YouTube channel who have lost work because of the pandemic. And I mean, I think that it's really admirable for somebody. I mean, Brie Larson is very vocal about her participation in feminism. and for her to reflect it on her channel with her own hiring is really, really amazing, and something I admire about not just the content she's creating, but the people she is uplifting in her content creation.
So if you want to see the video on Bree's channel that features Michelle and a plethora of other incredible YouTube creators, I'll link that in the description below. Were you happy with the video? We just watched it a couple days ago. What did you think?
Yeah, I was really happy. It was really cool to see all the other creators chat with her.
Did you know any of those other people were in the video?
I obviously knew other people would be in the video, but I wasn't sure who. So it was really exciting to see so many amazing people in all in the same collab.
Tomorrow we have MK Ultra releasing.
And let's be clear, the Marvel working with us for Black Widow had nothing to do with the Brie Larson thing. Those are two separate things.
Separate things
that are all happening at the same time that are so exciting.
MK Ultra, baby, it's back. Season 2, our only project that we've ever made that has won or been nominated for a Streamy. We didn't win. Nominated for a Streamy.
Did not win.
Challenge accepted. Hasn't even been nominated. But MK Ultra, here we are.
Hot Ones beat us.
Hot Ones is fantastic. Sean Evans is
such a good host.
Such a good host. Regardless of that. Also, Sean Evans was in Brie Larson's video as well. So that was cool. Look at all these tie-ins.
Yeah.
MK Ultra's coming out tomorrow. It's a really good episode. Talk to me about what it was like training for stunts for the first time in 2 years. Those are very technical skills, very muscle memory focused, that you hadn't been doing in the past 2 years. And it's a lot of very heavy, exhausting work. What was it like getting back into that and being with some of these people training you that are, you know, who have been on actual Marvel sets?
It was very, very intimidating. So I kind of want to back up and explain how this all came to be, why we're doing this almost 2 years after this season one ended.
We wanted to bring it back.
We have been trying to bring back MK Ultra, also known as the series where I train like different superheroes, for a long time. The reason that it stopped was we kind of were exhausted from it. It was incredibly difficult to
expensive.
Make, very expensive. And last December 2019, this which feels like 7 years ago.
It's been in the works for a while.
December 2019, Marvel Strike Force reached out to us and asked us to bring it back. It was so exciting getting that email. We were freaking out. We're like, oh my God. Because obviously the dream of season one was to be sponsored by any of the shows or movies that we were promoting and highlighting and loving on so much. And even though it happened, you know, like a year and a half later, for Queen Marvel themselves to reach out to us and ask us to bring it back was so thrilling and so exciting. So we were just
dream
so
come
honored.
True in a lot of
dream
ways.
Dream come true. We were freaking out, and we decided to go with Black Widow because Black Widow was a superhero highly requested from season one, one that I love very much.
Also, the movie was going to come out.
It was supposed to come out in May.
You know, it's being talked about in the news a lot, and it, honestly, it generally was just one of the characters that we never got to do. And
the
now
timing
we,
worked out.
And now we have the excuse to do it. And it was great.
And so, for context, the contract part of this, because working with Marvel is very intense. It is the most intense brand deal I think we have ever done. It is certainly the one that's taken the longest and for good reason, I think.
Are we going to go into it? Because this might be really interesting for people.
That's what I want to go into. That's why
I'm in here.
Okay,
let's do it.
Here.
Yeah. So what? How brand deals work. And this is going to be specifically with Marvel Strike Force, who wanted us to make an episode of MK Ultra.
Yes. So basically, getting the contract done, I want to say just the contract alone took 2.5 months.
And
just
why,
the contract.
And why was it that it took so much time?
The reason that it takes so much time is, first, we had to negotiate a lot of things. We had to negotiate the rate. We had to negotiate our concept overall.
Upload date.
All of that was a whole ordeal of negotiations because, I mean, these videos, these MKUltra videos, which comprise not only a 20-minute documentary of my training, but also a 5 to 10 minute cinematic short film, they take a lot of time and money to make, even more than Challenge Accepted. And explaining that took a bit of time. Anytime we had correspondence with Marvel, it took about 1 to 2 weeks to get a response, because that is how many levels of approvals any adjustment whatsoever has to go through at Marvel. And they keep it very airtight. It's again, incredibly intense. And that, again, I think for a good reason. I mean, that's why the content they make is so good, because they make sure everybody's on the same page in some way. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but every round of emails, any idea we had, had to go through marketing, advertising,
Marvel Comics, Marvel Theatrical, Marvel Animation,
Marvel Strike Force, the video game. Marvel
Strike Force, the mobile app video game, all of these different things. And we need approvals. So in our cuts for MKUltra, we show movie footage, video game footage, comics, like all of the content from, you know, we're sourcing Black Widow footage and content from everywhere.
So the comics department had to approve our use of all the comics.
All the panels that we
use. Video game had to approve all of our use of Black Widow's movement in the video game.
So we're talking to...
And then theatrical.
And they all don't operate the trailer. They're not all... Not that they're not on the same page, because they are, but they are different groups of people that we're talking to. And so, you know, every time we upload a cut with even at 1 second of, you know, movie footage, now this has to go to theatrical. And, you know, waiting back from Marvel Theatrical takes some time, because
they
have other important things to be doing. Makes sense. Like getting Black Widow to release somehow. I hope that works and figures out. Also, side note, I'm so bummed that some of the two like biggest movie hits from COVID, like release wise, are Mulan and Black Widow.
I'm so because
upset. For one, ScarJo so deserved to have Black Widow as a movie stand still, not even May release. I mean, well, she should have been in phase one or at least phase two of the Marvel Cinematic Universe release phases. The fact that her video's coming out after spoilers for death in Avengers Endgame is crazy to me, that it took that long for her to get her own movie. And of course, she finally gets her own movie. There's so much hype built around it. And then COVID happens and it gets pushed and pushed. I mean, Mulan already had their premiere, and now they're all just being indefinitely pushed. They had a
full-on premiere 2 weeks, like in March, before everything.
It was tough that those were the two big casualties, because those movies were really big for, I mean, female like action heroes as supporting roles. I mean, especially Mulan with women of color, and like that would have been really cool. And they're still going to be awesome and huge releases. I just wish like they really could have had those mm-hmm. big dates, you know.
I know.
It's going to be great regardless. But yeah, talking with all those different branches of Marvel was really interesting. It wasn't difficult. It was just fascinating learning.
It was very detailed. Every sense of the word detailed was used, from the use of footage in the video to just the way things are worded. It was very, very intense. However, at the same time, they let us have creative control, which was amazing.
We filmed the video and they didn't ask us to edit the core creative concept. Like, we got to do what we wanted to do because they had seen MKUltra and they said, oh, we want that. Like, just make that again, but with a Marvel character. Great. Like, we would love to do that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was really exciting. And so, okay, so contracting took like two and a half months. Then we finally get the green light and we're like hauling ass all systems go. I remember we got the green light on the project, and based on our timeline, we needed to shoot within 2 weeks, which is a very short amount of time to prep for a video like this, because I had to find a stunt coordinator, a stunt choreographer, an entire team of stunt people. And this was before the quarantine happened. So this was when people were very, very busy. I mean, a lot of the people that we used to work with on MKUltra now are on huge movies. A lot of the people we used to work with are literally on the Avatar films right now. They're on other Marvel properties at this time. And so we had to interview a ton of new people, use our connections, and try to find not only a team of stunt people who are available within a week's notice, which is very, very rare, but also find a place that would allow us to film and train again a week before, which is, again, in normal times in LA, very, very difficult in Los Angeles because everything is booked out weeks in advance.
But we managed to find an amazing space to shoot in. We found
an amazing space, this private gym called Muscle Farm in Burbank. Again, not sponsored, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just an amazing space. We ended up finding an incredible stunt choreographer, coordinator, Christopher Troy, who has worked on multiple Marvel properties and like tons of TV shows and movies and is incredibly good at mastering the Black Widow movement. We got to work with some of our friends from season one of MKUltra. So that was coming into place. And while I
we forgot one of the best people we have featured in the episode.
Oh, and by a stroke of massive luck, we also...
Christopher Troy's connections.
We got to include an interview and hang out with Kella McAllister, who did lead stunts on the Black Widow film. Yeah. So
firsthand experience on how to do Black Widow's moveset. It was amazing to see in person. You got to actually replicate
witnessing
the moves.
Witnessing her movement of Black Widow was... Oh my God, it was like witnessing a transformation in front of my eyes. And if you guys have seen the motion capture video that we did for Challenge Accepted, you'll understand this, how in motion capture, my coach Richard Dorton, he can just transform into another character instantly just by the way his body is positioned and he's breathing into that character. And she did the same thing, but with Black Widow. And it is bizarre to watch her and say, I see Black Widow, and she's not wearing any hair, makeup, no costume, nothing. But you believe she is Black Widow based on the way she's breathing and moving. It's a really beautiful and incredible thing to witness in person, let alone in the video. So that was amazing. So while all of this is happening for the unscripted portion of the video, which is coming out tomorrow, Garrett is working on the scripted portion of the video. So we are not only putting together this unscripted documentary, but we're also at the same time trying to produce a scripted short film that will be funny, entertaining, and also showcase what I have learned in this upcoming week of training as Black Widow. So
in the past, MKUltra had used to be, you know, Michelle would train, and at the end we'd show the cinematic fight scene, and all those fight scenes would string together to create a storyline. This season, we want to do something different. Rather than having them all connect in one big storyline, we wanted to do a bunch of individual short films or sketches that were just fun, and that gives us a little bit more room to play, because rather than being confined to one storyline, which has its own pros for sure, we now get to have a new, fun, interesting concept every single episode. So for the first time, we are going to split the training from the final cinematic. So that will be uploaded as its own video, probably Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, one of those days. So once you see the Black Widow video, stick around, because a day or two later, you're going to get to see the cinematic, which...
It's so good.
I think it's our best one yet.
It's so good.
The action is really well designed. It is just a fun project. Nick and I, my writing partner Nick Hurt, we wrote and directed it together, and it's a blast. You guys, you're gonna like it. I'm excited to see what you think, and I'm excited to make more episodes of MKUltra season 2 because it's been a long time since we've gotten to, and it was really fun, busting out our narrative chops again. We don't get to do it often, but when we do, we have a blast doing it.
Yeah, it's so fun, and so we made the whole thing happen. From a production standpoint and pre-production standpoint, within 2 weeks, I mean, you and Nick whipped, I don't even remember how that happened. You guys whipped together that script. Me and our amazing producer, Iris, were working on trying to find locations and props and everything. It's a lot. And this is while I'm also every day training like Black Widow for 3 to 4 hours.
I want to just also remind us, this all happened months ago. So we filmed this whole video, the cinematic and the training, before COVID or quarantine started.
I want to say the first or second week of March.
We've been sitting on this video for so long.
We literally finished filming, and then 2 days later, quarantine was announced. God, that feels like so long ago. Oh my God. But here are some fun things I want to talk about from the
Hit me. Okay, hit me with some fun things.
So first of all, guys, this final cinematic, I know we keep talking about how awesome it is, but let me give you some qualifiers.
Wait, can I show a teaser? I'm going to show a couple shots right now.
Action.
Daytime's over. Yeah. Sorry, dolls. This is a sticker.
I don't know what shots I chose, and I think I'm just going to pick a bunch of random moments out of context. So I hope that was confusing, but also arousing.
Exciting. Arousing? Okay. So, first of all, we got to shoot in the space where Batman was filmed.
The Dark Knight Batcave. That's actually a point of contention. I think it's a replica of the Batcave, not the actual Batcave.
Oh, it isn't?
Tim Hendricks will die on that hill.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Tim Hendricks. It's a space that is either where they shot The Dark Knight, I don't think it is, or a space that looks exactly like where they shot
really
The Dark Knight
Batcave. You really don't think they did? Okay, whatever.
If they did shoot there, they heavily VFX'd the entire space, which, knowing Nolan, that would make sense. He's very Fincher in that way, where he'll pick apart everything. But I don't know. Who knows? It looks like the Batcave. It's cool.
Okay. So, again, Garrett will cut away to some sort of visual here to give context. But basically, it's this really cool open garage kind of space. And the entire ceiling is filled with these rectangular lights that change colors. So a lot of really cool music videos and photo shoots have been done here. And it was a perfect place because we wanted our location to be a vault, an intense vault.
The premise of our sketch or cinematic is a diamond heist. So if you want to see Michelle try to go on a high profile diamond heist, check it out. It's going to be great.
I think it's really funny and it's beautiful. Shot by Kevin Stiller. Love how it turned out. And you know what was crazy about that? So basically, We're out here. I mean, let's talk about the logistics of all of this. This is different from like a normal comedy sketch because we have to plan it out so far in advance. We actually pre-visualized the entire sketch. We shot like a rough version of it at the gym. And you do that to make sure that the action looks good on camera and that it's going to work on the day. And we realized that we had so many shots to get through. And getting through a long list of shots is one situation. And doing it when the actors are doing physical stunts and hitting the floor and whatnot, that is a whole other added layer. It definitely slows things down. And I have no idea how we got through so many pages of material in a single day. But it was like rehearsed. It was like we were a machine, honestly. That day was crazy.
Can I hop back to the training portion for a second? One interesting challenge that we had, which we talk about in the video, is you were during training to train for this final cinematic scene. You were training opposite of a stunt performer who was around your height. But then when we casted the role, Robbie, he is like
3 feet taller.
He's like 6'3", I think. And you had this really interesting obstacle to overcome of the, you know, your stunt partner who had been the same height as you all along, who you, all of your muscle memory has worked around, is now being used against somebody twice your size. And what was that like? Because that happened at the very end of training and became a point of almost panic. Like, oh, you almost couldn't do some of the moves with him.
Yeah.
Just talk to me a little bit about that. I just find that really interesting.
It is difficult. It's like dancing with a partner for hours and hours, and then, you know, them being swapped out. It's an adjustment, and that is something that I really admire about professional stunt performers, is that they can make that adjustment and adjust on the fly, sometimes minutes before they're filming, which is amazing. Something that was difficult for me about this whole thing is, you know, when we did MKUltra the first time, I was stunt training all the time. I mean, every month I was doing some sort of new choreography. I was building that muscle. And this time I felt a little bit rusty, not gonna lie. Rusty in terms of specific stunt stuff, but then also I felt all of the other challenges that we've done definitely coming through, in the sense of, I feel like one thing I have just been improving upon throughout this entire channel is the ability to learn something new. Yes, I'm like novice level at everything I try, but entering a new thing has become like, I understand how to do that. I understand what it will feel like and the difficulties it brings. And Tekla actually said that to me on set, and I thought it was really sweet of her to say that, while I felt a bit rusty on the stunt part, I am accustomed to just jumping in. So that was really nice. And luckily, Christopher Choi is such an amazing choreographer that I think the first day we kind of tried all of these different moves, and he pared down, okay, you're good at this, this, and this. We're going to forget the rest because of our time frame. And that's something they do with actors and stunt performers, is what are your strengths? Okay, great. We're going to build all action around that. And I really appreciated that.
That was actually one thing I liked about this episode that maybe our past episodes didn't have, is Christopher Troy's awareness of your strengths and weaknesses, where in the past, sometimes it was, oh, you have to do this move, and you spend all your training trying to nail this move. And then if you don't get it, like, it's almost like you put all your time and energy into that one move, and then you don't put it to everything else. Where this one was like, Troy was like, okay, here's what you're good at. Here's what you're maybe weak at. Maybe we don't try to do the thing that you're not good at. And like, yeah, exactly. Like, appeal to your strengths and really build around that. I think you said it perfectly. And I thought that was something that Troy really did well in this episode that we maybe overlooked in past episodes. So it was really nice having a choreographer who understood that. And
I think that is also a sense of humility I have had to grow, because I think in the past also I have said, Daredevil does a backflip off a desk, so I need to do a backflip off a desk, even though I don't know how to do that.
This isn't to put, like, our choreographers on season one were incredible.
So good.
But I think
a lot of it was pressure on myself. Right. Of like, this is what the superhero does. I need to do exactly what they do. And rather than, here's what the superhero does, here's what I'm capable of doing within that realm of list of activities or moves, and let's go with that. And I think that was really beneficial to us on the day, because when we were filming, rather than me being super stressed about, oh no, am I going to hit this move? I mean, there were some that I was like, I really hope this looks good. I have no idea if it will. I was able to more focus on acting and character, and also just having fun. I mean, we had so much fun filming that.
I was stressed because we had to make our day.
Yes.
Like, but I was, admit so
it, it was also fun too.
It was a blast. I mean, I was just fun to do, like I said, just to do narrative.
It was great. I just love this episode too. And I think, you know, we talk about all these episodes are centered around fear. And I think the fear for me was that as I am finding more confidence in myself and this dream I have of being in a superhero TV show or movie, I am continually working towards that. I felt this added sense of pressure of I have to execute perfectly to prove something to Hollywood or even to Marvel, quite honestly, about what I can do. And, you know, like I also just have such massive respect for stunt performers because there was a period of time at the beginning of my channel, right after I left BuzzFeed, when I actually was going on stunt auditions. This was before my channel was the size it was, obviously. I didn't know if my channel was going to work out. So I thought, you know what, I'll try everything. And I auditioned to be on stunts for Avatar. I made it to the last round of that. So being a stunt performer at one point was a profession I was heavily considering. And because of that, I have so much admiration for stunt performers. I mean, I didn't fully pursue it because I realized, damn, I don't know if I have what it takes to do this. Because you have to be so well-trained, so specialized, but also so adaptable all at the same time. And also just genuinely comfortable with hitting the ground, hitting concrete, and making it look crazy good and getting right back up and hitting the concrete again, that I don't think I could do what a lot of the amazing performers who are in this final cinematic do every day for their jobs. And I have so much respect for the stunt community as a whole. I wish that they had more attention, because when I think of a superhero and who plays the part, I don't think of, personally, Scarlett Johansson is Black Widow. Yes. But also, so are Heidi Moneymaker. So are Kella McAllister. The other people who are behind that character's movement and portrayal on screen. To me, the character is encompassed. A superhero is someone who is beyond human, and therefore requires more than one human to fully and accurately portray. And I just wish that the stunt community was more appreciated and valued. And so I'm grateful in this episode.
An Oscar category.
Yeah, it would be really nice if the stunt community had an Oscar category for, like, best stunt coordinator.
Especially with how much that stunts are now, how important they are to the movies that are so successful.
Because all the blockbusters have action.
Mm-hmm. They all have stunts. And they're not all just a bunch of CGI people. They're real people taking these hits.
And even if reference for motion capture. For example,
that's a good point.
You know, if we're going to say Andy Serkis has such an amazing performance when he does motion capture as Gollum or as Caesar, then by that same default, we need to appreciate and recognize that stunt people who also do motion capture are integral to playing the role. And what I really liked was in last year's Oscars, how Brad Pitt highlighted our stunt community. That was amazing in his acceptance speech. And, you know, obviously, I think it was in part because he played a stunt performer in his role that he won the Oscar for. But I would really love to see a category for stunts at the Oscars. I think it's ridiculous that they don't have one, because they really deserve one. And I feel like they're the only department on set that isn't represented. Am I incorrect in that? Besides crafty and catering, I guess.
I'd love to see
Oscar for best catering and crafty
category. Could you imagine a movie winning an award for how good their catering is? I'm all about it.
But you know what I mean? Like, is there another department on set that is not represented by the Oscars? The only one I can think, producing.
I mean, so a lot of the big categories like production design are broken into so many things. For example, production design includes like wardrobe and set dressing, but then like you'll forget like greenery and construction, all those other things. And like
the those subcategories
don't get it, but like wardrobe and set dressing do. Now I understand why. It gets a little sticky when you start splitting everything up. So yeah, there's other departments that don't have love. But I think the idea that stunts is so integral to storytelling nowadays that like they should be recognized. I know they have their own award show for stunts, which is really awesome. Exactly. But yeah, seeing them represented in at least one Oscar category would be really exciting. Even if it's a category that's not, I mean, it should be shown on the main.
Yeah. And a lot of the stunt performers we know are world-class athletes who are so devoted to their craft. Tekla, multi-time world champion in martial arts.
Oh, and you'll get to see that on full display in our cinematic.
Yeah. I mean, these people are so passionate and devoted to their craft that, I mean, I think they deserve a category. And I feel like it's often seen as like, you know, they're supporting the actors in the actor's portrayal, but they're really doing their own thing. And it's evidenced by the actors not out there doing the stunts. The stunt people are.
For the most part. Sometimes the actors step
in. Of course.
But it's mostly stunts.
The action designer or stunt coordinator is the one who says, here are the moves to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're going to herald Tom Cruise for the crazy stuff he's doing as an actor doing his own stunts.
Well, to be fair, Tom Cruise is insane.
Yeah,
an amazing
way. Yeah, of course. Tom Cruise is insane. God. But I'm also saying there are also so many stunt people who are doing what Tom Cruise does for himself for other actors, and I don't know.
Doesn't Tom Cruise have his own insurance policy because of the crazy stunts that he does? I don't even know.
He's nuts.
Isn't he like 60?
Is he?
That seems old.
How old is Tom Cruise? That.
But maybe he is.
Tom Cruise is 58 years old.
58! That's pretty close. Jeez. And he's going to be the star of Top Gun, the Top Gun reboot that they're doing. So, pretty cool. You know, my favorite 58? Thing was that originally The Matrix 4 and John Wick 4 were going to come out on the same exact day, and we were going to have a Keanu Reeves day. But because of COVID,
well, Keanu one of the Reeves movies is another actor I really respect for his training.
Mm-hmm. He did all the John Wick training. And,
yeah. I mean, shows. I think I also had a lot of personal tie to Black Widow and this project because, I mean, this is what I want to do. I mean, I want to train for and execute well at amazing action and acting roles. And so when you have the opportunity to do that and it's in your own hands, it's got to be good. You know, it's got to be that much better so that, you know, hopefully if people see this and believe I can do it on a real set too.
So guys, thanks so much for listening. We have to go now. Like literally we have to go do something now. So we're going to cut the podcast.
I can keep talking about this for forever.
But if you want to continue the conversation, join us on Twitch tomorrow. Join us in the YouTube comment section tomorrow on the Black Widow video. Join us on the Discord server right now. We're probably going to be talking on that. So hang out with us. Continue to hang out with us. Thank you for watching this.
Yeah. And be on the lookout for the episode of MK Ultra Season 2, I Train Like Black Widow, coming out tomorrow with the finale cinematic, which we are so, so proud of, releasing shortly thereafter. If you've made it to the end of this podcast, congratulations, mission accomplished, and we'll see you next time. Bye!
See ya!